My objective this evening is to speak to your emotions. I don't particularly want to speak to your head. I want to speak to your gut level. And this is what I'd like to focus on this evening. Okay. Nanette's telling me I'm not speaking loud enough. Nanette, if I knew what I was going to say, maybe I would speak louder. But when you don't know what you're going to say next, you kind of want to keep it quiet, you know, in case it doesn't work. My objective is that hopefully, is this better? You will take away from this evening one or two mental images, pictures in your mind, so that when you pray for the brethren in the Ukraine, it has a slightly deeper meaning. That's my goal. That's my hope. It's a big country. Has a lot of beauty. We were in Europe in August, and I was invited to go into the Ukraine. I looked on the website of the United States State Department, asked the question, can I go into the Ukraine? They answered very quickly. They said, no. They said, there's a lot of Russian agents still in the Ukraine. If you go, you are in personal danger of kidnap. Because they're interested in getting things, people for ransom. So they're active. He said, if you go in and you get into trouble, we will not help you. So I did not go. I felt bad. I couldn't go. But that was the situation. In our Tuesday night study, we have several brothers from Australia that meet with us. And one of them is Brother Adam Kopczyk. And he's of Polish descent, and he's frequently giving us reports on the Ukraine. He has friends there. He's been there. Brother John, will you come up here? And I had dreams of hooking up Brother Adam, you know, electronically and all that, because they do it on CNN all the time. But the best I can do is Brother John. So come up here, and I am... John, you better come here so I can put my armor... So, yeah, that's what. Okay. So for a few minutes, this is Brother Adam. Okay, I asked Brother Adam some questions about the Ukraine, and he gave me answers. And I've asked John to dialogue with me because I have John's. I have Adam's answers here. Come up closer, because they'll complain. They'll tell you that they don't hear you. You know? Okay, Brother Adam, where did you start with your relationship? You know so much about our dear brethren in the Ukraine. Where did this all begin?
The relationship with Ukrainian brethren goes back for me for a very long time, a very long way. Many years ago, in 1961, my parents and I were sponsored from Poland by Ukrainian brethren, the Puliks, who attended the Melbourne Berean Bible class to come over to Australia. When we came over to Australia, we stayed with them in their home for a few months. When I was in Poland attending conventions, I met a few of the Ukrainian brethren at the 2000 International Convention in Polonica Zdroja. Over the years later, I met some of them at conventions that were held in Poland. Then we traveled to visit the brethren in Lviv, Chernobyl, Zlochina, Zakarpatche, and a number of small villages spread throughout the western side of Ukraine. Also, we visited many isolated brethren with the aid of Brother Bogdan and Brother Vladislav over the years. One particular isolated village comes to mind that was in a remote area and rather difficult to get to. It had only 6 sisters, some elderly, and that's all that was left of that class, for all the brothers had finished their earthly walk. They were so happy to see us and have fellowship and studies together.
Okay, thank you, Adam. Give us an overview of the brethren in Ukraine. Where are the classes? What are the numbers? Give us the big picture.
Many of the brethren are spread out through the western side of Ukraine. Some live in small villages where there are only a few in number there. The bigger class is in Lviv. The brethren still meet in person when they can on Sundays. The brethren in Lviv meet in a hall on Sunday. They have regular other meetings on Zoom during the week. In Lviv, they are presently studying Volume 6, 1 Corinthians, and Revelation. They have 3 meetings on Zoom during the week. They also join Moldovan brethren for a study in Russian language. There is a smaller class in Chernobyl, Zlochne, Zakarpatche, near Moldovan border. They usually have at least 1 youth seminar in their summer. There is usually a convention in Lviv and Zakarpatche or Mukachevo in southwestern of Ukraine near the Moldovan border. Many brethren from Poland, Romania, and some European countries attend these conventions. The general number of brethren and children and interested persons in the truth in Ukraine would be about 120.
Okay, give us some details. How are they surviving under the present circumstances?
To give you an idea how the situation unfolded slowly in Ukraine many years ago, following the invasion of Crimea in 2014 by Russia. When I was in Ukraine following that invasion of Crimea, in 2014, a brother near Lviv worked for the forest group, and he was provided with a big truck to load and transport logs from the forest to the mills. But the war in Crimea made all the government agencies to provide their trucks to help their troops in Crimea, as there was a shortage of trucks all of a sudden. As a result, that brother lost his job. Lately, many brethren have lost their jobs due to war. Ever since the Russian incursion into the Ukrainian regions in February 2022, there was a shortage of food and items. Prices went up on many items each week. Now, there are goods in shops, but they are very expensive. The brethren from Poland have looked after the brethren in Ukraine through regularly sending food products like tinned fish, meat, sunflower oil, and generators. All the brethren have now been supplied with essential first aid kits with various antibiotics and some basic medicines and first aid supplies, bandages, and others. The brethren have constant power blackouts. That means often no water in high-rise buildings. One sister in Lviv mentioned, "So it's amazing how much you can get done in 4 hours when the power is on. It's all about planning when you have power for only 4 hours a day. Recently, the cars on the roads are being stopped by authorities, and men are requested to fill in forms for the military conscription. The brethren are very thankful to the Lord for all their experiences, as these are very much strengthening their resolve and faith."
Have they physically been in danger?
Now all the men in Ukraine are being conscripted to the army. The intake is from 18 to 60 year olds. One sister has lost her son in the recent war. One brother was injured during fighting, recovered, and has been recalled to service in a service capacity.
What would you suggest we could do to help?
The brethren thank all the other brethren for their support during these turbulent times in their country. The power of prayer can never be underestimated, and it's so much felt by these dear brethren who are going through hard times in the close of the gospel age. Prayer is what it is most needed in these times, and they are dearly thankful. All the brethren for all their prayers. They say that all these experiences are only increasing their faith and their resolve. The brethren feel that they must wait for the Lord's overruling in all things.
Tell you a short story. A young sister who was able to be at the international convention last August in Poland has been a resident and a native of Ukraine. And about 3 weeks ago, she was in her backyard, and a rocket flew right over the yard. And it was terrifying. And her response was, she sang a song. It was one of the songs that we had sung together at the International Convention. And we're going to sing a few songs, and we're going to close with that particular song. And the terrifying experience of hearing rockets going by and exploding bombs, it's difficult for us to imagine. So I was almost surprised at Brother Adam's answer when he said prayer. To be honest with you, I was looking for an answer that described the conduit as how our contributions can get from here to there. And I know the way. I know how they can get there. The brethren in Poland have a committee that works with helping the Ukraine. So, but that wasn't Adam's answer. Bless his heart. So it fits in with my objective of praying for these brethren. Every possible moment that you get. Would you play one of the songs, like softly? So I have some pictures. They're beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Before the International Convention last August, I contacted a brother that I knew had sung with us before, and I asked him to send me two songs, two Ukrainian songs. I said, we want to sing, as usual, we want to sing some songs in all the languages, and we want to sing a couple songs in Ukrainian. I said, send me your two favorite songs. So he did. You know, sometimes you wait weeks to get an email back. Boy, I got his email back just kind of instantly. And so we did those two songs, and we're going to do them again tonight. Okay, I've got an incredible group of singers that can sing in Ukrainian. And you're going to be amazed, but we want you to join us. Now, to the extent that you can anglicize any of those words, do it. If you can't do that, I want you to hum or ooh. All right? I want to hear a sound from the entire group as a background to my dear seven singers here. Okay? So, have we ever done anything like this before? Of course not. But there might be some listening from the Ukraine, and if not, they're going to listen to this next week on the recordings. And so this is now from your heart to their heart. Okay? Chord, please. All right, now I'm a little concerned that that's going to be too loud for the singers, but we'll see. If you can't hear the singers, okay, we can always start again. We know that, don't we? Okay, ready, go. Zasa Tobey Yada Loyal Nasi Teru Nimi Loya Moya Trunzi Loya Trunzi. Oh, for him.
Okay, now we got the
ready to go? This is the second time on the chorus. Ready? And it's a little faster now. Ready? This
is
that was from the heart. So it was all good. All right, the second song. With all our love to our brethren in the Ukraine. Thank you.